I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. All of us have heard stories about people who turn lemons into lemonade. It isn't often, though, that we have the privilege of meeting such a person. My first guest, Christine Clifford, has definitely cracked the glass ceiling. At the age of 40, she was Senior Executive Vice President for SPAR Marketing Services, an international merchandising and informational service firm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. As the top salesperson in the multi-billion dollar retail services industry for over 8 years, Christine was responsible for accounts with Kmart, Toys R Us, Walmart, AT&T, Mattel Toys, and Revlon, among others. Taking her company from $1 million per year loss to over $54 million in sales, Christine signed the largest contract in the history of her industry with Procter & Gamble, doubling the size of her company overnight. Diagnosed with breast cancer in December of 1994, Christine took a turn in her journey of life. She wrote 8 award-winning books portraying her story in her books, including Not Now, I'm Having a Hair Day, and her newest book, Laugh Till It Heals, Notes from the World's Funniest Cancer Mailbox. Christine is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Cancer Club, a company designed to market humorous and helpful products internationally for people who have cancer. Christine is also a contributing author to Chicken Soup for the Survivor's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Golfer's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Writer's Soul, and is featured in the books The Courage to Laugh and The Triumph of Their Human Spirit, Real Cancer Survivors, Real Battles, Real Victories. She has been featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Better Homes and Gardens, More Movies, South America Help, Golf Digest, Today's Christian Woman, as well as the Singapore Woman's Weekly and the Hindu in India. She was a 1998 Hero Award finalist for Coping Magazine and appeared on CNN Live as one of the world's leading authorities on the use of therapeutic humor. She has also appeared on Lifetime Television Network, News Attitude Show, and The Lisa Show. Host of the Christine Celebrity Golf Invitational, a benefit for breast cancer research, Christine's inaugural event raised over $100,000, making it the most successful first-year event in the history of the American Cancer Society. She has raised over $1 million for breast cancer research and has received the Council of Excellence Award for Income Development from the American Cancer Society. Christine received the CSP, or Certified Speakers Professional, designation from the National Speakers Association. Less than 300 people hold the CSP, putting Christine in the top 7% of professional speakers worldwide. Christine has 2 grown sons, Tim and Brooks, her Siberian Husky, Skylar, and lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More information is available at www.cancerclub.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Christine. And I look forward to hearing about humor in cancer treatment. Now, first, Christine, you have become known as one of the world's leading authorities on the use of therapeutic humor, based primarily on your diagnosis of breast cancer in 1994. Can you tell us what was your initial reaction when you learned that you had cancer?
Well, my initial reaction, Carl, I'm sure was the same as anybody who has heard those horrible words, "I'm so sorry, you have cancer." I was devastated. I had grown up in a family where my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 38, and she died at 42, and I had found a lump in my breast doing a routine self-exam at the age of 40. So, of course, my initial reaction was, I'm going to get depressed like my mother did, I'm going to crawl into bed, and I'm going to die. So initially, I shed a lot of tears. I certainly wasn't laughing when I heard those words.
Mm-hmm. And at what point did you discover that humor was going to play a role in your recovery?
Well, two things happened, Carl. The first was a phenomenon that I witnessed that I'm sure a lot of people have experienced, which is when friends and family started learning that I had cancer, they didn't know what to say, mm-hmm. and they didn't know what to do, so they often said or did nothing, which caused me to feel quite isolated and alone. I thought, gee, why aren't people reaching out to me? This is kind of strange.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, they were doing what I call silent gestures of support. They were sending a card. They were sending flowers. They would drop a meal off on my front porch and not even ring the doorbell. And 6 weeks after I had had my surgery for cancer, I woke up in the middle of the night and went downstairs into my family room. And on the spot, I drew 50 cartoons of things that had happened to me in the 6 weeks since I had been diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people had said to me, done to me, that seemed kind of offbeat, kind of whimsical. An example of that is 3 days after I got home from the hospital, my youngest son, Brooks, answered our doorbell and yelled up the stairs to me, "Mom, more flowers for your breast." So I drew a cartoon about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened is if people would send drop a meal off or send me flowers, I would send them one of my cartoons, and then an amazing thing happened. They would pick the phone up and call me,
mm-hmm.
and they would say, "Oh, Christine, where did you get this cartoon? This is amazing. You've got such a great attitude." And so what I discovered, Carl, was that humor was a great connector of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted people to surround me and support me. And so if I could use humor to put their mind and their feelings at ease and open up the lines of communication, then bingo, you know, I had found my home run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Christine, why do you think it's important for people facing terminal illnesses to find humor in their predicament?
Well, because, you know, having a terminal illness is a very sad experience for most of us. And yet that experience can last for quite a long time. My mother, for example, was diagnosed with a terminal illness but lived for 4 years. And unfortunately, she didn't find any humor. She became clinically depressed, and she virtually became a recluse. And now that I've been through cancer, and it's not, I'm knocking on wood here, Carl, it's
mm-hmm.
been 19 years for me,
mm-hmm.
almost to the day, I look back on that and think, wow, I wish she had embraced her situation, embraced life, and enjoyed those 4 years with us as children rather than isolate herself from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the importance of finding humor when you have a terminal illness is that in the end, it feels a lot better to laugh than to cry. And I've also found that families that were able to share laughter with a loved one, even if they passed from their disease, have the fondest and most endearing memories of that person versus somebody like myself, whose only memories of my mom are of her in bed behind a closed door. You know, so I think it's an extremely important part of everyday living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're above ground, we're living.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Then, Christine, is there something funnier that happened to you when you were going through your cancer treatment than the flowers for your breasts?
I have a lot of funny stories, but let me share one of my favorites with you, Carl. I'm an avid golfer, and I live in Minnesota. We were having a brutal Minnesota winter, and so we decided to take a break. I was doing chemotherapy and radiation therapy, and so I had lost all my hair. And my family went out to Arizona to take a little break from the cold Minnesota winter. And while we were there, there was an event being played on the senior PGA golf tour. So we bought tickets, and I was standing on the tee watching three of my idols in golf tee off.
Mm-hmm.
This was Jack Nicklaus, Raymond Floyd, and Tom Weisskopf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a gust of wind came up and blew my hat and my hair right off my head, right into the middle of the fairway. Now, there were about 10,000 people lining this fairway, and there was not a peep. So I took a deep breath and slid under the ropes, ran out into the middle of the fairway, grabbed my hat and my hair, and turned to the golfers and said, "By the way, gentlemen, the wind is blowing left to right." And that was probably my most hysterical story that happened to me during my treatments.
And that probably eased everyone's feelings.
Oh my gosh, the whole audience burst into laughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was great. I don't know how I ever thought of those words in such a short period of time, but they definitely broke the ice and changed the environment.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us another funny example?
Oh, gosh. My kids, I was lying on the couch one day reading the paper, and one of my kids came in with about four other neighborhood kids, and they looked at my head and said, "You know, Mom, can we autograph your head?" So, you know, kids have a great way of cheering us up when we're going through cancer treatment. You know,
right.
If you don't have kids in your life, I recommend that you go out and borrow some because, you know, they're a great source of humor.
Of course, you wouldn't want that ink to absorb in through your skin, would you?
Exactly. Well, you know more about that than I do, yeah. I did let them do it, though,
did you?
Carl.
Yeah. Well, that was probably more important than worrying about a little bit of ink absorbing.
Right, exactly.
Then, Christine, what advice do you have for listeners that might have just been told they have cancer?
You know, my advice is always this, Carl. Number one, research all of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many new ways of holistic treatment, as you so staunchly recommend. There are new protocols and treatments for cancer. There's, you know, new methods of surgery. There's all kinds of things. And so take the time to research and make sure that you have all of the possibilities in front of you to make wise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, don't be afraid to ask people for help. The love and support that people want to give you can absolutely get you through this cancer experience on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
On the high advocate of getting second, if not third, opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find caregivers who you trust and feel comfortable with and who are treating you well. And, of course, my most important piece of advice is don't forget to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is still going on. You know, most of us are still having to work and raise families and have a social life if we can get out of bed and do so. And so, you know, it really helps us to feel like we're back in the mainstream of life, mm-hmm. if you can find some humor.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you said life goes on. When we went through Hurricane Isabel, and we all had about 3 feet of water through our houses, and we're cleaning up, and we're doing all of this stuff, and we didn't have electric or anything for about 10 days, and then when you turn the television on, it's like it hadn't even happened. Everyone else is just going on with their life. And
oh, I know.
I think the same thing with the people that have gone through Sandy now. Some of these people still do not have their electric. They don't have a place to sleep. They don't have food and all of this. And yet the rest of us are just going on with our life as if nothing had happened. It amazes me.
And it's so true in the cancer experience. I can remember for the whole year that I was going through treatments, I remember going to social situations or going to work and sitting in a staff meeting or even going to the grocery store, and it was almost as if I was having an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would look around, and it seemed surreal to me,
right, right,
that all these people are going on about their lives as if nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. And I would sit there and go, I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reality of it is there's a lot of people out there in the same boat who are thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1 in 3 people will get a diagnosis of cancer in their lifetime. And so I'm a strong believer in communicating, mm-hmm. and letting people know what you're going through, because, as I said just moments ago, people want to support you and
right.
they want to help you, but they can't if they don't know that you're going through this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Christine, before we look at your books and services, is there anything else you would like to say about humor or about cancer?
Well, just that it certainly doesn't have to be a death sentence anymore. I personally look back on my cancer experience and truly, Carl,
mm-hmm.
truly believe it was a gift.
Right, right.
My life has changed in so many positive ways over these 19 years to do creative things that I never knew I had inside of me. It renewed my faith. It strengthened the bonds between my family and friends. I got to see while I was alive, while mm-hmm. I'm alive, how many people care about me.
Right.
You know, many
right.
people have no idea how many people really respect and care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've always said if my guardian angel landed on my shoulder right now and said I could go back and change 3 things in my life, my cancer experience would not be one of
right.
them.
Right, right, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well said. So,
thank you.
Christine, then, can you tell us about your services, your books, any products you have, and how the listeners can reach you?
Well, on cancerclub.com, we've had a company since, let's see, 1995 that markets humorous and helpful products for people with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I have written 8 books. 6 of them are about finding humor in the cancer experience. They're all available on the Cancer Club website. And my titles include Not Now, I'm Having a No Hair Day, Our Family Has Cancer 2, which was written especially for children. These are books of cartoons, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer Has Its Privileges, Stories of Hope and Laughter. And my newest book is called Laugh Till It Heals, Notes from the World's Funniest Cancer Mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got DVDs and some beautiful handmade ornaments, this being the holiday season, that were handmade by cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of wonderful products.
Mm-hmm.
We have a free monthly newsletter that people can sign up for, again, at cancerclub.com. And encourage people to go on the site.
So everything is on the cancerclub.com site.
Correct. Yes.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Christine. It's been interesting, and I think it's important that people do have humor. It's something that probably many people, when they have cancer, are not thinking about. But I think it's backed up by a lot of research that it is a healer. Am I right?
Yes. You absolutely are right. There has been done a lot of work has been done on this topic.
So I thank you very much, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thank you, Carl, and don't forget to laugh.
Okay. I want to tell you about another great issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. Two stories and musical segments jumped out at me that are connected by the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. As with most of his musicals, the most popular songs require a special voice that is able to hit both the high notes and the low notes. The first article in music is a trailer and music segment from a new movie of Les Miserables, starring Anne Hathaway, Hugh Jackman, and Russell Crowe, to be released in December 2012. The scenes and music, and especially I Dream a Dream, sung by Anne Hathaway, is memorable. The other is a story about Jackie Evancho, a 12-year-old soprano from Pittsburgh, who was discovered on America's Got Talent when she was 10, and who recently released an album of songs from the silver screen. Her singing of Music of the Night from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera is outstanding. Another article of interest was the interview with Howard Strauss, the grandson of Max Gerson and son of Charlotte Gerson, whose grandfather discovered and used the Gerson therapy for cancer. It consists of an organic, salt-free, fat-free vegan diet with the addition of detoxification, vitamins, minerals, and enzymes. He says plant-based foods will alkalize the body, whereas protein foods, including dairy, will acidify your body and even suck calcium out of your bones. He also says genetically modified foods are useless and lethal, and Monsanto is the most evil corporation on the planet and pays big money to prevent food labeling so they can continue selling unhealthy food to the unsuspecting public. There is much more on the typical unhealthy diet in this article. Other interesting articles include information on a feature-length documentary that leads viewers across continents searching for happiness, information on Proposition 37 on food labeling that failed in California but will be modified and reintroduced, information on the ineffectiveness and suppression of information on vaccines, an interview with Bill Cosby on American children, and an interview with Glenn Close on her career and her role in the play and movie, Albert Nobbs. This is just a taste of the many exciting articles and music in the latest issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Chris Wark, is a real estate investor and musician who was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2003. At 26 years old, he had surgery and instead of chemo, used nutrition and natural therapies to heal himself. He is the author of ChrisBeatCancer.com, a popular health blog with a worldwide audience. More information is available at www.chrisbeatcancer.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Chris, and I look forward to hearing about your experience with colon cancer. Now, you were diagnosed with colon cancer stage 3 in 2003. Can you tell us how this was discovered?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Carl. Mm-hmm. So I was having some abdominal pain throughout the year, and I was misdiagnosed. They thought I had an ulcer, the doctors did, and they gave me some, trying to give me some prescription medication and different things, and which none of it helped, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And toward the end of the year, in December, this abdominal pain I was having just kind of got worse and worse, and they didn't know what to do, so they sent me to have a colonoscopy. And that's where they found a golf ball-sized tumor mm-hmm. in my large intestine. And by the way, I was 26.
Oh, that's young. Yeah, for
extremely young
yeah.
for any cancer, but especially colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They were shocked because most colon cancer diagnoses don't happen until you're in your 50s. That was sort of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
what we're seeing now, that was 2003, so it'll be 9 years in December. But
mm-hmm.
what we're seeing now is many, many more young adult cancers.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the rise because my generation is the fast food generation.
Oh.
And so there's a lot more people in their 20s, mid-20s, early 30s
mm-hmm.
getting diagnosed with cancer. I just happen to be kind of, what I call maybe the first wave,
mm-hmm.
in the first wave of that.
Right, right. Yeah, because I don't think they usually do the colonoscopy routinely until you're 50. Because I didn't have mine until more recently.
Insurance won't even cover it for young people unless, you really
mm-hmm.
have some issue.
Mm-hmm.
If a young person wanted to get one for prevention,
mm-hmm.
it won't be covered.
Right, right. Chris, what interventions did you do?
Yeah, so what happened was they immediately rushed me into surgery
mm-hmm.
because the way the conventional medical model is that if you have a tumor, then it must be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically said, look, we got to get you into surgery right away. We got to get this tumor out before it spreads. This is life or death. There's no time to waste. So they rushed me into surgery. They took out a third of my large intestine. Fortunately, they didn't take out any more, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to get a colostomy bag.
Mm-hmm.
But they took out a third of my large intestine and discovered that it had spread to my lymph nodes. Took
mm-hmm.
out a bunch of lymph nodes, 49 lymph nodes. I think 4 of them were positive.
Mm-hmm.
So then they told me I was going to need 6 to 9 months of chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I went home from the hospital, and we basically just prayed and said,
mm-hmm.
God, if there is another way besides chemotherapy, just show me. Because I did not have a good feeling about chemotherapy.
Right.
Really, I have no firsthand experience with cancer at that time. I didn't
mm-hmm.
have any friends or family that had ever had cancer. But I knew chemotherapy was poisonous,
mm-hmm.
and it made you miserable and sick, and your hair falls out.
Right.
And just mm-hmm. the idea of poisoning my way back to health did not make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a good feeling about it, didn't have a peace about it, and that's why my wife and I specifically prayed for another direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 2 days later, I got a book on my doorstep. It was mailed to me from a man in Alaska who I've never met,
mm-hmm.
and he knew my dad. He's a business acquaintance of my dad's, and that book was called God's Way to Ultimate Health. And it was about,
mm-hmm.
it was written by a man who healed his own colon cancer 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or maybe 30-something years ago. His name is George Malkmus, and he did not have surgery or chemotherapy. He radically changed his diet,
mm-hmm.
and he converted to a raw vegan diet, a plant-based diet, and started
mm-hmm.
juicing like crazy.
mm-hmm.
And his body healed itself. And so he's been a health crusader ever since and has written some books and things. Anyway, this is one of his books. And I started reading it, and I was like, man, this is it. This is an answer to my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm doing. And so I immediately converted to a 100% raw vegan diet. I started drinking 64 ounces of vegetable juice every day, eating giant salads, making coconut and berry smoothies, and just adopted a strategy
mm-hmm.
to overdose on nutrition. Because what I believe more than anything is that the body can heal itself
right.
if it's given the proper nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason so many of us are sick is twofold. One is our bodies are starving for real nutrients because mm-hmm. we're not getting any in our standard modern processed diet. And two is our standard modern processed diet is also full of toxic artificial chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double whammy. We're not getting the vitamins, nutrients, minerals, enzymes, and all these beneficial compounds from food, from the earth. We're not getting those, and then instead we're substituting them with man-made chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
That's artificial flavors, colors, preservatives, additives, texture enhancers, stimulants, you know. And then on top of that, we're drinking too much, we're smoking too much, you know, we're taking too many prescription drugs. So it's really no wonder so many people, so many of us are sick. It's because
mm-hmm.
we are polluting our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
anyway, once I started to read and research I found other natural cancer survivors and heard their stories, and I started just studying this whole world of nutrition and natural medicine
mm-hmm.
that is out there that no one is talking about. And it just blew me away. And so I just went for it 100%. And guess what? My body healed itself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to have
mm-hmm.
chemotherapy. The cancer, whatever cancer was left in my body took care of it, which is what it's designed to do. And I'm in the best shape of my life now.
And it's been 9 years, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
9 years in December.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you do any other interventions, or was it just the diet?
You know, I did everything I could find and afford. I believe the diet is foundational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took a ton of supplements. There's
mm-hmm.
so many,
mm-hmm.
you know, immune-boosting supplements
mm-hmm.
and detox supplements and, you know, parasite cleanses. And there's all this stuff out there, and who knows if any of it works.
Right.
But I took everything that I read about and was interested in and thought maybe it would help, I would take it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I did also, I had vitamin C IV treatments.
Mm-hmm.
I had that done with a local doctor in Memphis that was a nutritional oncologist, very, very awesome, the late Dr. Roy Page. It was a fantastic guy. I worked with a naturopath here, John Smothers, who's a master herbalist and board-certified naturopath.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helped me refine my diet, and he had me on a lot of different supplements that he thought would help my body heal and recover and detox and all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I did everything. I mean, literally, it just, I to me, it was just, if I'm not doing chemo, I'm going to do every
mm-hmm.
other possible thing I can find.
Right, right.
And that's what I recommend for anyone with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, hey, drink this tea or take this supplement or start eating more broccoli. You know what I mean? It's,
mm-hmm.
you have to do it all, pull out
right.
all the stops.
Right. I did that. I used vitamin B17 and the diet and the supplements, including pancreatic enzymes and digestive
mm-hmm.
enzymes. But I also added prayer, meditation, visualization,
yes.
affirmations. I tried to do physical, mental, spiritual. And I don't know, like you say, I don't know what worked, but all together it worked. So
yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I love that because you know the approach when you have the will to live. If someone has the will to live, then
mm-hmm.
they're willing to do whatever it takes to get well, and that means leaving no stone unturned. And anybody who knows anything about cancer is really rooted to stress in the body.
Right.
And
right.
stress in the body can come from a physical stress from just polluting it with, you know. Can come from emotional stress and trauma and negative emotions like bitterness, envy, fear, anger, jealousy, resentment, unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
all those things. And then, of course, spiritual stress.
Right.
Like all of those, there's so many different issues that can create stress in the body that can suppress the immune system and create an environment where the body starts to break down and malfunction, and that's when cancer. That's
right.
when you have a cancer problem. But,
right.
you know, everybody has cancer in their body. Cancer
right.
cells are
mm-hmm.
common. We've all got them. But we don't all get a tumor because
mm-hmm.
the body knows how to deal with cancer cells. When a cell mutates into a quote-unquote cancerous state, it's identified by the immune system and eliminated. But if the immune system is overloaded with stress and toxins and all this stuff, then it can't properly deal with all the cancerous cells in the body, and then they'll start to accumulate, and before you know it, you have a tumor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing you said that I think is very important, too, that shouldn't get lost, and that was that you prayed about it. And
yes.
I think that sometimes people underestimate the value of faith. And I think faith is one of the most important aspects of recovery from cancer.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you have to come at it from a logical decision tree, mm-hmm. if it were.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, it means when I think about life and the big picture, the universe, I look at a universe that is functioning at such absolute perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Just the location of the Earth positioned at the precise location from the sun, spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, tilted on its axis, in such a precise way to sustain life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You look at nature and the seasons and the animal kingdom and how amazingly precise everything functions. And
mm-hmm.
nature is perfect.
Right.
And
right.
So, and even the human body functions in just unbelievable perfection. So to me, it's like, it's obvious. This was designed by something.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an accident.
No.
I'm not an
uh-huh.
accident.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Big Bang, explosions do not cause perfect order. Perfect
no.
order doesn't
mm-hmm.
come out of chaos. Perfect order comes from an intelligent designer. And so we live in a universe of perfect order. So if you come from that foundation of belief, then it's so easy to look at nature and look at the world and the universe and realize, yeah, there is a God. He created Earth for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And we live on Earth. And so everything that the human body, that humans need to thrive, comes from the Earth,
because mm-hmm.
we're
mm-hmm.
not just here by accident. We didn't just evolve and like, oh, well, now we're here. No, we were created for this place, and this place was created for us.
The other thing I believe is that nothing happens by chance. That
I agree.
There's
Absolutely.
A reason for everything, and so that leads to the question of what difference in your life did this experience make?
Well, a huge difference. I'm glad you said that, because chance and the words chance and luck to me are a godless, shallow view on life.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It's the most shallow way you could explain anything is to say I was lucky.
Right.
You know, you see superstars and celebrities on TV all the time talking about their success and saying, well, I've just been really lucky. Like, are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Right, right.
But, you know, so everything does happen for a reason, because we live in a cause and effect world,
mm-hmm.
a cause and effect universe, and that's one of the laws of nature,
mm-hmm.
is that everything, there's always has to be a cause, and for every cause, there's an effect.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
in my life, you know, I know what caused my cancer, which it wasn't one specific thing, but there was all these different factors that I talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
the effect and the result of me getting cancer was just a complete transformation in the way I looked at the world, the way I appreciated life, the way I took care of myself and my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it just changed my whole attitude about it. It completely reset me
mm-hmm.
as a person,
mm-hmm.
because now I'm so grateful. I have so much gratitude in my heart,
right.
just to be
right.
alive,
mm-hmm.
just for the simplest things that life, that are included in life, you know, and life is a wonderful, amazing, beautiful thing, and it's not like every day I'm sitting here in awe of life, but I am a lot.
Right, right, right.
So, and I'm content.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about the future, and of course I have a very successful website, chrisbeatcancer.com, which is a health blog, and that's growing, and we've got a lot of subscribers, and I love sharing my story, and
mm-hmm.
I appreciate you having me on,
mm-hmm.
but you know, at the same time, I'm completely content with what I have. I'm not trying to compete with anyone or get more than the other guy or whatever.
Right.
So that, you know, having an attitude of gratitude, which is a little cliche,
mm-hmm.
but and also just being content with what I have, but excited for the future, you know, that pretty much sums me up right there.
Right, right. And I think the other big thing, Chris, that I see with you and with many cancer survivors is the desire to help others. And I don't know if that was there before. Now, I was a nurse before, but I have more desire to help people after, than I probably did before. And I see you doing a lot to help other, especially cancer, people that have cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always really enjoyed sharing information, things that I've learned and discovered. Even before cancer, I was involved in real estate and I've always loved to teach and share and help people. I mean, that's what makes you feel good at the end of the
day. Right, right.
Helping people, you know, helping others. When you're serving yourself, you really end up just empty.
Right.
When you're serving others, somehow you end up full.
Right, right. Now, Chris, based upon your experience, what advice do you have for others regarding prevention and treatment of colon cancer?
Well, that's a trick question. The answer to both is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who, I have to say, it's much harder to prevent it than it is to treat it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not even make sense on the, you know, on the outset. But what I mean is, most people don't have enough motivation to radically change their diet and lifestyle to prevent illness.
Right, right.
You know, it's only when they get the diagnosis that they have the motivation to radically change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people, you know, when people ask me like, wow, you know, how did you just quit eating all meat and you went raw vegan, you were only eating raw fruits and vegetables. And by the way, I'm not a raw vegan now, but I was for a season in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And my diet is still very, very high percentage plant-based.
Right.
I don't call myself a vegan. I never will. But anyway, but the point is, feeling like, how did you do it? It must have been so hard. And I tell them, no, it wasn't hard at all. It was easy. Once I had a plan and a path set before me, I just ran down it as hard as I could. Now, okay, so the answer is, it was easy for me because I had cancer. And I don't judge people at all for not taking care of themselves and for not making the changes they want to make with their diet and lifestyle, because I know it's hard when you really don't have a serious motivation. But if you want to change, this is what you need to do. You need to eat a ton of fruits and vegetables, 10 servings a day, raw, cooked, however you can get them in your body, smoothies, salads, you know, just whole apples. Any way you can get 10 servings of fruits and vegetables in your body is going to do an amazing amount of good. If you can reduce your consumption of animal products, that is going to do you a lot of good as well. You don't have to cut them out completely, but if you can cut them back to one meal a day or a few times a week, huge, huge improvement. And there's so many clinical studies that show that a plant-based diet lowers your risk for every major disease.
Right, right.
For heart attacks, for stroke, for cancer, for kidney disease, for, you know, just on and on and on. And so that's the simple answer. The short and simple answer is tons of fruits and vegetables, seeds and nuts, tons of plant-based food, and less animal products, and zero processed food.
Right.
So you've got to get rid of the Cokes, the candy bars, the McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Pizza Hut, you know, the Snickers bars, the Twinkies, the cupcakes, the Ho-Hos, like all that just garbage, empty, toxic, processed junk food. And that's what I call, you know, by the way, your generation, those kind of foods are what I call recreational food. You know, you go to a ball game, you get a hot dog, right?
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. But now we're, you know, kids are eating hot dogs every day. They're eating burgers every day. They're drinking Cokes every day. That's the difference.
My generation, Chris, we were poor, and so we lived very well in retrospect because we grew our own fruit and vegetables. We ate primarily a plant-based diet, but we did have chicken. And now, I didn't eat much beef. I never have, but the rest of my family did. But we went to the dairy. We got unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk. We got the eggs from the farmer. And so we lived, we didn't need organic back then because we didn't have Monsanto and we didn't have all of the growth hormones and the pesticides and the genetically modified and all of that. So it was much easier. So my generation, I think most of the, at least the people I knew, were all I don't know whether we would be upper, lower class or lower middle class, but we didn't have a lot of money.
But yeah, meat was expensive back then.
Right, right.
And so a lot of the folks showing up that where money was tight or whatever, mm-hmm. they had a lot more vegetables, a lot more plants, and a lot less meat. And now the meat industry is subsidized by our government. So meat is cheap because our tax dollars make it cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And so because our tax dollars are making meat cheap for the meat industry, the meat lobby, then now everybody's eating meat all the time. Ah, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Meat, mm-hmm. meat, meat. So I'll tell you, one way we could radically change the health of our nation is to stop the meat subsidy.
Right, right.
Because what would happen is the price of meat would go up a lot, and a lot of people would stop eating as much meat.
Well, we also have tobacco subsidies, too.
Yeah, well, that too.
Right. And for lung cancer, that's about between direct and indirect, it's about 93% of all uh-huh. lung cancers have to do with smoking.
Yeah,
so,
and emphysema is the mm-hmm. number four, right. I believe, number four killer.
Mm-hmm.
And of the top 15, by the way, 13 of them are diet-related.
Mm-hmm.
One is from smoking,
mm-hmm.
and then one is... accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's just amazing how many diseases are all diet-related.
Right, right. And I think that my doctor that I went to was so progressive because you consider 38 years ago, he put me on a 75% raw fruit and vegetable diet with no protein, no dairy, no meat. I could have nuts, but I couldn't have peanuts because they're high in protein. I had grain.
Mm-hmm.
I could have a very little bit of yogurt for cereal. But I think it was a very progressive diet considering that it was 38 years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you know, That's about the time when George Malcolmus, who wrote the book, first book I read,
mm-hmm.
that's about the time he was dealing with colon cancer, you know, mid-70s,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and when he was on the raw vegan diet. So, yeah, it's I was shocked to hear that you had you took B17 way back then, you know?
Right, right.
That was really when it was first, I mean, it was sort of popularized in the 50s, but kind of re-emerged in the 70s.
Well, the doctor that I went to had worked for the National Cancer Institute, and the drug companies and the FDA closed them down.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he continued doing it under the table, but I had to sign forms that I wouldn't report him. And his patients all went by word of mouth. And so a friend that I was in a Search for God group with knew about him and referred me to him, and so I went to him. But he was closed down, I would say, within 5 years, as well as the store where I got my Laetril, the vitamin B17, in Baltimore, Maryland. It also was closed down by the FDA because they were out to get rid of anything that helped people that was natural.
Too much competition. They do not like competition.
No, they don't. Chris, is there anything else that you'd like to say about colon cancer and your experience with it before we look at your blog and the other things that you do?
You know, colon cancer obviously is a rare one for young people. Even though more young people are being diagnosed with it in their early 30s, it's still relatively rare.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just say more just specifically for all cancers, because you know the statistic, one out of every two men is going to be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime, and one out of almost every three women.
Mm-hmm.
So cancer is a real threat. About half of us,
mm-hmm. right.
based on current estimates, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So which half do you want to be in? The half that get it or the half that don't?
Right.
And so the best thing you can do to prevent it, like I mentioned earlier, is to radically change your diet and lifestyle. Now, and by lifestyle, I mean you've got to start exercising. You just got to start moving your body because movement is life. And moving your body promotes detoxification, sweating, your lymph system, your blood flow. Movement is so important. And then, of course, the diet, eating lots and lots of organic fruits, vegetables, seeds, and nuts. There's just so many. I mean, there's 100,000 phytonutrients in vegetables. 100,000 different micronutrients, you know, bioflavonoids, and on and on and on and on. I mean, you know, more than I can even list. Of course, I could probably list about 10 of them of the 100,000. But that's what's so amazing. And none of that stuff exists in meat. And so I'm not down on meat completely, but I'm just saying there's so much amazing nutrition that comes from the earth, from plants, that our bodies know exactly how to use. So you just got to get it in there every day.
Chris, will you tell us about your blog and any products or services that you have, and also how the listeners can reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So 2 years ago I started, you know, 2 years ago, I just kind of, I realized I'm 7 years cancer-free, and I kept getting questions from people that had heard about what I did. When you first start this, everybody thinks you're crazy if you don't do chemotherapy. And you have very little support. I had, my mom supported me in the beginning, and that was about it. And then as time goes by and you don't die and you get better, people start to take you seriously. So anyway, I kept getting, people kept asking me what I did, and it was took too long to explain it all. And, of course, even our conversation is a very abbreviated version. So I just figured, okay, I'll just put it all online. I'll start a blog, and I'll write all these blog posts and explain everything I did and what I've come to understand about nutrition, and because I just feel like no one even, you know, knows anything about this stuff because you just don't hear about it. So I started the blog, and it just really took off. It just... people want this information. It's not that I'm something special, because I'm really not. It just so happens that once I put it out there, people just started flocking to it. And thanks to Google, you know, people find it. But anyway, it's, you know, there's posts on there about nutrition and natural therapies. There's also a lot of survivor stories. So I love, just like you, I love to interview survivors and share their stories, because I believe that the most important thing in life is that we learn from the experience of others. And not necessarily from a scientific study funded by the pharmaceutical industry. So I would rather hear a real person tell me what exactly what they did to heal of cancer than read a study from Merck saying that blueberries have no effect against cancer or whatever. So, or that Laetrile B17 doesn't work. So anyway, that's what the site's all about. It's just about sharing information. I don't have anything to sell. I'm working on a book. Who knows when it will be finished? But it's just, the site's out there, and it's just, you know, chrisbeatcancer.com. So anybody can go there and click through and read a bunch of articles and posts and interviews and just go nuts.
Well, that's great, and I appreciate this very much, Chris. It's been very interesting and will, I'm sure, help a lot of people that are searching for a different way to deal with their cancer. So I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Carl. Thank you so much for having me on.
Great. I thank you for joining me today, and I invite you to my website, www.holistichealthshow.com, and also www.beatlungcancer.net. I also invite you to view my trailer of my new book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer, which you will find on YouTube. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.